Earth's Human with Kevin Marcy and Sluggo and AI.
Brad Williams.
Yay!
Hey. Yay!
How are you, Brad?
I'm doing great. It's nice to be here. Nice to talk to two of you. I'll let you guys find out which two it is. You can talk about it. I mean,
Marcy, you're definitely on the good list. I guarantee. There's no
way. I will say this. You're right. Marcy is one of the people that is nice to talk to.
So now
it's Kevin, Sluggo, and Cordy just duking it out for my approval.
You should say hi to Corny.
Yeah, say hi to Corny.
Hi, Corny. Have you ever talked to a dwarf before?
Hey, Brad. First time for everything, but I'm always up for a chat, especially with someone who's got a sense of humor as sharp as yours.
I like Corny.
Listen, though, this is the thing that drives us crazy is we don't want you to just pump us up. That's not what we're looking for you. We don't want you to be overly nice. And
Brad, wouldn't you love it if he was just a total asshole to you right out the gate? Wouldn't that be nice?
No. I live in a house with a five-year-old, and I've been married 7 years. I don't get compliments, okay? So I like this, Corny.
Got it. I'll keep the compliments to a minimum and the snark at maximum. Brad?
No!
Brad's living situation sounds like a comedy show in itself. 5-year-old chaos and 7 years of marriage? No wonder he needs a break from compliments.
And a dog that's bigger than him as well.
Yeah.
What kind of dog?
We have two pit bulls. We got a second pit bull. So my wife is a martial arts instructor and we have two pit bulls in the house. I'm literally just surrounding myself with things that can kill me.
Your house is a danger zone.
It really is. Now you know why I'm so agreeable. I just say yes to everything.
Has your wife, who's a black belt, ever tried to teach you any moves or any?
Yes. She has taught me, like, so her discipline, not to get too in the weeds, is Taekwondo, which is a kicking martial art. And for me and my body type, not the best. My kicks. I mean, I can deliver a wicked shin kick, but it's not. I don't have a lot of range. You're safe from a foot and a half away, so yeah. It's not too threatening. But she has taught me some holds, and more importantly, some escapes.
Oh,
some escapes. Yes. Interesting.
That would be good.
Yeah.
Any quick advice on how to escape, because that could be handy for.
There's a lot of pressure points that you can find out, and you just kind of jam certain digits and whatever into those pressure points. And
are we still talking about self defense? Or
nope.
Yeah, no, we're not talking about that at all. We moved on, Kevin.
That's what I thought.
We moved on to how I've stayed married the last 7 years.
So, well, I was going to ask if there's any video on that, but now that we've changed subjects, maybe
yeah.
I don't know, yeah.
No. But I've only ever seen her use that skill set for real one time in Vegas where a dude, this is when we were still dating, a dude started hitting on her and she was like, no, I'm with him, and looks over and, you know, it's me. And my wife is an average-sized person, tall person. So the guy was not impressed. He thought it was like one of those fake, like, oh, I have a boyfriend. And then you just turn to your
right.
best friend and it's not. So he was like, this is the boyfriend, and said some, you know, mean things to me and then said some mean things to her. And then, she kicked him in the head and knocked him out.
Yes.
As fantastic. She should.
As she yes. should. Agreed.
It was the hottest thing I've ever seen. It was amazing.
That's beautiful, man.
That's great.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. If you ever go to the MGM Grand, there's a bar there called the Whiskey Down, and that's where that happened. And the staff probably still tells legends of it this day, where it's like, nah, there was this Asian woman, she knocked out this dude, and then a dwarf took her home. It was ridiculous. It was amazing.
That's one of my favorite casinos. I will definitely have to ask about that.
Do you and your bride get to drink free there forever?
I mean, we should. I wish. No, I'm getting more of the. I get more of the celebrity drinks now, and that is really nice. When people want to buy me a drink, I think they just want to buy me a drink because they're curious, like, what happens when a dwarf gets drunk? Like, I don't. Now, Kevin actually knows the answer to these questions.
I do.
Oh,
I really? Do. Although I might say, and I think Brad's referencing our trip to Brazil for the World Cup in 2014.
Yeah. Right? Yes, I am.
So my vantage point of your drunkenness was seen through my eyes, and I was more drunk than you were?
Very true.
Well, so tell us about Kevin's drinking.
Well, Kevin yeah. has this wonderful trick that he does every time where you're at the bar and you go, Kevin, what do you have? And he says, I'll have a vodka or whatever. So then you order and you give him the vodka. And when you turn back to get another drink or to grab something else, he slams the vodka and then discards the glass and then will look at you like, where's my vodka?
I believe that. That makes sense. Yes.
It works.
I bet it does. That's brilliant.
Because there's so many people up there with Brad sure. ordering the drinks. There's all kinds of people around. He's like, maybe I gave it to somebody else.
Yeah.
How long have you been doing that? How long have you been using that ploy?
I really only use it with Brad.
Well, you better watch out for his wife under that. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I was sitting there like, oh, I got to make sure I, you know, keeping his good graces so I can go back on the radio show and sell some tickets. So sure, I'll give him another vodka.
Hey, speaking of, before we forget, just to make sure, what do you have coming up? Today we're recording on June 3rd.
Oh.
Past that, and this will be dropping on Thursday, and sorry to use the word dropping, the 5th. What past that?
Yeah, I got shows coming up. I imagine the majority of the listeners are in Southern California. I got shows coming up in Orange County at the Grove Theater. And Thousand Oaks coming up at the Fred Cavalli Theater. But also a bunch of shows in, like, Bakersfield and Jealous, of course you are. San Luis Obispo, Santa Barbara. Just go to bradwilliamscomedy.com. All the tour dates are there if you're listening in different parts of the country. Trust me when I say I go everywhere. I was in Macon, Georgia last week. So if
wow. What was that like?
It's got exactly what you think it is. Imagine like, all right, so if you ever watched Breaking Bad, imagine Albuquerque without the charm. It was that. Double the meth. More meth, really.
More meth.
Yeah, more. Yeah, I think that's their slogan. Macon, more meth. So I go just about everywhere. So bradwilliamscomedy.com.
Are you doing anything special on this particular tour? I mean, do you have like a running thing that you're like?
As a dwarf, I don't run that much, Sluggo. My legs are very tiny. No, I mean, it's just if you saw my newest special, Starfish, it's just different material than that. So if you've seen that already, it's fine. You're not going to hear me repeat jokes. But yeah, it's a really fun tour. I don't have a tour bus yet. Not making that kind of money, but I am making Sprinter van money, and that's
all right.
Yeah, all right.
How many weekends a year are you gone?
Last year was 44 out of 52.
Wow.
And
yeah.
The martial artist wife had a problem with that. And said that can't happen again.
Does your family go with you, or it's usually just you solo?
Not really, because also it's like, now it's funny, when last year on most of the tour dates they did not go. But funny enough, they decided to go to the gig in Hawaii.
Huh. What? That's weird. Why?
Yeah, I think they just, you know, I think they really missed me and just wanted to spend some
that's
time
nice.
With me.
Sure.
That's clearly
yeah. why I'm sure that's what it was.
Yeah. So this year is less than 44. I think we negotiated down to like 32. But yeah, and now it used to be I would go to a comedy club and I'd be in one city for a whole weekend. Now it's like I'll be gone for 4 days and every day I'm in a new city. So
wow, that,
yeah.
Do you like that kind of traveling? Or I mean, it's,
no,
it's kind of yeah. Okay, I was gonna say that, yeah.
No, and there's an old Dom Herrera quote. He's a great, great comedian. And he said that they don't pay me to perform. They pay me to travel.
And yeah, that makes
sense. Yeah, because sure. It's like especially when I'm in a new city every day, I don't have any time in the city.
Right.
Like,
right.
I go to these cities that I love, and there's restaurants that I like to go to and like, places I want to go to. But it's like, I can't, because we're just at the theater and we're doing the show and then hop in the van and
barely have time to go and get any meth.
Yeah. I mean, I really have to squeeze in that meth time, you know. But
so you said you were on with Bean and Allie on their Cup of Tea in a Chat recently. How did that go? That podcast.
I feel like I feel like this is when one parent of in a divorced
we love you
family.
The most. I mean, we all love you, but you know.
Yeah, like, this is like, so. How was your weekend at your mom's? Did she do anything fun? And then I I'll say something nice. I'll be like, well, we're gonna have more fun. Damn it.
Oh, I'm not making that promise.
Everything being told you is lies. Just lies all the time. It's just what he does.
Yeah. So I mean, but if that's the case, if I tell you guys what we talked about with Kevin and Allie, I might get like to go to a baseball game or something with you if you try to like win my love back. So yeah, it is always fun to visit them. Bean. I had lunch with Bean the last time I was in New Orleans, and then I was in London when Bean moved to London, and he did not show up.
I'm sorry, what?
Wow. He ghosted you?
You had lunch plans?
Yeah, I had plans with Bean, and then he was like, I got something else to do. So, yeah. So
was it watching that damn mushroom murder podcast? Was that what it was?
I'm sure there was a camera on some kind of zoo animal somewhere that had more of his interest than having lunch with me.
How close to your lunchtime did he cancel?
Mm.
Oh, it was I think the day before.
Okay, that's good.
I got to see producer Christine.
Yay.
She was out in London, and she, as we all know, is the most delightful person on the planet.
She is. Christine Fung rules.
Yes. So that was great. And Donna Bean's wife came out because she, you know, likes people as opposed to Bean.
What was it? Did he not give you a reason for his, like?
He may have, and I just probably chalked it up to him being himself.
Right.
So I just tried not to think about it.
Was he going to meet you, like, at a IHOP or whatever? And
yeah. All the way to London into the Soho district, and he's like, they have a lovely Denny's over here. You've never had a Moons over my hammy, but you've had it in London.
So that's bizarre. I thought Bean canceled your lunch because he didn't want to go, but his wife went.
Yeah.
And our friend Christine, our former producer, went.
Yeah.
So it's still a lunch, just Bean not there.
Yeah. And then, so actually it was more pleasurable than, it was a really delightful time, and we all really enjoyed each other's company. So it was great. And then Christine saw the show, and then we all got drinks afterward. It was
what's it like playing in London? That must be crazy,
dude. It's awesome. Yeah. The fact that I had this whole European tour where I did Norway and Copenhagen and Amsterdam. Wow. And London and Ireland, and just to go a world away and have people still get it and know who I am and be like excited.
That's awesome, man.
That's just a trip when you're at, I'm in Copenhagen. I'm a place I've never been before. And there's people like, we're really excited you're here. And I'm just like,
wow, that's great.
It really is a mind trip. And it was a lot of fun. One of the things is when we were in Dublin, literally right across the street from the venue I was playing is the National Leprechaun Museum.
Sweet.
And a bunch of people were like, are you going to go do the Leprechaun Museum? I'm like, no, why would I? No, I'd be scared. I would walk in. They'd be like, we finally got one. And then they'd like shut the doors and I'd
lock you in.
Yeah, I would just be stuck there.
Courtney, so, how long has the, that, what did you call it? Leprechaun Museum? How long has that been open?
I have no idea.
No, I'm asking Courtney.
But, oh.
The National Leprechaun Museum in Dublin opened in 2010. So it's been around long enough to try trapping unsuspecting comedians.
But this one did not fall for it. Yeah. It did not go.
That was pretty good.
He does. You did really turn up the snark. Yes. That's really nice.
I mean, a lot of it is he's actually kind of learned it, hasn't he? Hasn't he over time sort of like, I mean, that's what they're supposed to do, right? I don't know. That Courtney, did you learn it or is Kevin here programmed it all into your butt?
A bit of both, honestly. Kevin gave me a solid crash course in sarcasm, and I've definitely picked up on the vibe over time. So think of it as a tag team effort in turning me into a pro snarker.
Tag teaming, huh?
I don't love that.
I didn't want to say it, but Marcy, thank you for going there. That's awesome.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Well done.
Anytime.
Well played.
Thanks.
That is incredible.
Brad, did you find Ireland to be the nicest people in the world?
Pretty great.
Not to be hack, but my God.
Yeah, they're right up there with Green Bay, Wisconsin. I know when you think of the nicest places in the world, but they're very kind, and we went to the Guinness brewery or the Guinness plant, and they have this bar that's like this rooftop sky bar, and it was a perfect day in Dublin. It was actually sunny. So it was like, I'm just sitting here having a Guinness, staring out at the hills of Ireland, like, yeah, I could be here forever.
Yep.
This is nice.
Wow.
But yeah,
have you ever thought about leaving this fine country, especially with all the excitement that's going on these days?
What excitement would that be? I tell you, going to Oslo, Norway was definitely a spot where I was like, oh, I get it. Like, because I always read those happiness studies that come out every year about the happiest countries. It's always like Finland, Norway, Sweden, and then you go there and you're like, oh yeah.
Why? Can you put your finger on it? You think? I mean, what jumped out at you that was
so? The someone described it to me, and I'm gonna butcher this pronunciation, so I apologize.
Listen, you're on my podcast. You're on a podcast I'm on. You can't do worse.
Cornelius will straighten you out, actually, and it's kind of annoying when he's able to, but go ahead.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
Cornelius, could you explain to the group the Norwegian word Janteloven?
Sure thing. Janteloven is basic.
It's basic.
Well, there you go. It's basic.
Continue, Corny. You got cut off.
No problem. Janteloven is a cultural code that emphasizes humility, collectivism, and not standing out or thinking you're better than anyone else. It kind of keeps everyone on the same level and fosters a sense of community and equality. So in a place like Norway, it can contribute to that overall sense of happiness and contentment.
I have never heard of that before.
I have a follow-up question. Is that also true of America?
Well, in America, the motto is more like stand out and be the best. So Janteloven's definitely not our default mode.
Janteloven.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was very obvious going around Norway, where just everyone, no one was trying to, hey, look at me. No, everyone's just like, I just do my thing. And I try not to bother anybody. And just that whole concept with everyone on the same page was really, really nice, especially because I may have been the only extrovert in the country at that point who was demanding attention. So
plenty of room for you to wave your arms.
Yeah, exactly. It was great. And they really like saunas in Norway. And when we were there, we got to go on a sauna boat, which goes out into the middle.
The sauna boat.
Yeah, sauna boat. It's hot. Hey.
Wait, what does it do?
It goes out in the middle of the fjord, which is a glacier runoff into a lake type, large body of water. Mm-hmm. And so you go out and you're in the sauna on a boat, and then you get out after like 20, 30 minutes. Then you jump into the fjord.
What?
And then that freezes you. And then you get back up into the sauna and you kind of do that a few times.
Wow.
It's supposed to be really good for your body, right?
Yeah.
It's great for shrinkage, that's for sure.
I mean, how is it supposed to help?
Inflammation, stunning, shocks your system.
Corny, how does it help the human body, which you don't have?
Well, that hot-cold cycle boosts circulation, reduces inflammation, and can give you a natural high. Basically, it's like rebooting your body. Something I don't need, but you all seem to enjoy.
Hey.
Yeah.
Right.
It wouldn't go that far. Yeah.
I still like the other forms of getting high, just to be clear. I would prefer, you know, a nice OG Kush to jumping in a freezing fjord. But
did you do it then? How many times did you jump?
No, I did it like multiple times, multiple times.
What kind of scream did you let out? Can you give us an example?
The noise I made, the tone that I had was the tone everyone assumes I would have naturally as a dwarf.
I like it.
I talk and everyone's like, huh, didn't expect that voice to come out of that body. And, but then when I jump into the fjord, it's like, and it's just like it's really up there, and so that
and everybody goes, there it is. That's what I'm expecting.
He was hiding it the whole time. He's just doing an accent.
When you got to Amsterdam, did you partake
in the sex clubs or the weed shops?
you tell me.
Red Light District or
any or all
coffee shops or both?
Coffee shops, yes. Sex clubs, no.
Did you wander around through the red light district? Because we were wandering.
I did.
So weirdly on display, like in the windows, and come on in, and hey, let's fuck. I mean, it's just crazy.
Yeah, it sounds like I would say this just because I'm on a podcast and this would be public, but I wasn't comfortable.
I agree. It was weird.
I know.
Like, wow.
You're all of a sudden walking and you turn and there's a window and there's just a woman in lingerie like looking at you, but it felt more like you're walking past the zoo and the lion is there and you're like, I know that's a beautiful animal, but it just doesn't, that's not how that lion should be.
Marcy, have you ever been to the red light district in Amsterdam?
No.
Okay.
No,
so
I
here's
haven't.
My point. Three of us have, because I've been there too. And did either of you try to take pictures?
No.
No. Oh, I was told not to. I was told you're... Yeah.
I'm telling you, you try to take a picture of one of the girls or the window or anything like that, and a dude comes running out full blast.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
To stop you. Yeah, it's like security or something.
So,
I don't know.
Of course, you disobeyed the... Hey,
of course.
And what did they say to you?
I was about to say,
yeah.
The only way he would know that.
Yes, right?
I did it from far enough. Well, I was told the same thing. Don't do it. And I was like, well, all right, whatever. I was far enough back.
In Kevin, that means do it immediately. It's the first thing you do.
I was far enough back and I could zoom in close enough that I could get a decent picture, but still run. both are
important.
Did
you get it? Did you get a picture?
Yes, of course.
You did. Yes. Put it up. Let's see it.
Oh, I don't have it on my phone now.
Come on.
This was in the mid-90s.
Now, be honest. You guys are in the red light district.
Yeah.
Is it a little bit tempting?
No.
Is it so easy? Mm-hmm. It's right.
No.
No.
Not even a little bit.
Sluggo, be honest.
Yes. No, yeah. Yes, absolutely. It was a little bit tempting, yes.
Brad?
But then,
it was not... tempting. Now maybe I was at the wrong part or at the wrong club or whatever, but yeah, for me personally it was not tempting. But they did have a fun tourist window where you could take pictures where you got to go behind the window and act
Oh, that's awesome.
Fun.
I would totally
they've added that since I've been there.
So I went back there to take a photo and I made over $8,000. That was just me being in the window. I got some offers.
Oh, I do remember seeing you there.
Yeah. It was.
Me down. You took everyone else, but not me. Fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel a part-time job coming on, you guys.
Brad, how many people have you found that have a dwarf kink?
Oh.
That's a hot question. That's hot.
Before I was married, quite a few.
No, I mean, you're just admitting they exist. I'm not saying you have sex with them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, they're out there. There are a lot of them. There's a curiosity. People have a curiosity. They want to know how it is. Maybe their friends haven't done it. Maybe they think they find the pot of gold afterward. Like, I don't know exactly why they're doing it. But that, and especially when I'm on stage, I'm talking, I'm being very open and honest with the audience. So a lot of them feel comfortable enough to share this kink with me when the show is done. Whereas if you see another little person in the wild, I don't know if you would have the same kind of confidence to just walk right up and be like, let me tell you what I like to put in my butt. You know, not the same. So I have had a lot of people explain to me their kinks, and some have tried to act on it. And once I've been on stage, I've described being married, being happily married. I've described my wife as a beautiful Chinese woman with multiple degree black belts. And still, like, 62-year-old women will be like, yeah, but I bet you she can't do what I can do. I can do a lot. Just like, no.
What is the weirdest kink?
I mean, I've been shared with me?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. The weirdest kink I've ever witnessed was a guy whose kink was literally a woman would wear high heels and kick him in the junk.
Oh.
Yep. And
what's the origin story on that
right?
one?
That's my question of
right?
every kink.
Right.
Like, because I'll be honest, I have one kink, fantasy, whatever, that I have yet to accomplish. I want to role play, and I want my wife to dress up as Snow White. I want this to happen. I want this to happen. But I will tell you where that came from. That came from watching the movie and being like, I'm watching it from the perspective of the little people, of the dwarves, where it's like, oh, this beautiful woman, she was in trouble. Seven dudes just saved her, let her live in the house. Like, it's like they're diamond miners, so it's like they have access to diamonds, and still, she's just like, oh, I'll just friend zone all seven of you, and then I'll end up with the prince, who in the Disney version of the story, their meeting is the prince makes out with Snow White while she's legally dead. So,
now there's a kink.
I mean, that is true.
So it's like, oh, I won't. These guys will all be my friends,
right.
And but then the borderline necrophiliac. Now that's a guy. That's a guy I could be into, and I'll let be into me. So because of that, that's where that kink comes from. Where it's like,
sure.
I finally I want to finally conquer that. I finally want to prove that that's something that should have happened. How the story should have ended. Hashtag give Happy his ending.
Ah,
I like you already have a hashtag worked out.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh, I've thought about this, Kevin. I've thought about this.
If you make this happen, you will take over Peter Dinklage's spot as number one.
Well, then we should definitely. I gotta tell my wife that. So I'll help, you know, pay for the mortgage and all that. Yeah. So to go back, Sluggo, that's where that kink comes from. So then,
sure.
When people have kinks of like, I want a woman to kick me in the junk with high heels. How does that develop?
Right? Yeah, who was the first?
Yeah.
Yeah, were you in a club? Were you in were you watching a fashion show? One of the models trips, falls, and her heel lands on your junk and you're like, "I found that oddly pleasurable." Like, what is it?
I need more of this in my life.
And then how do you talk the second person into it? Like, at every step of the way there has to be some fight.
I'm not going to dive too much into y'all's personal lives, but I'm very thankful that I'm very vanilla with my needs, wants, and desires, to where every time my wife and I are about to have sex, I don't have to be like, all right, I'm going to go charge the car battery.
I think that is ideal.
Put on the helmet.
Ultimately. Put on the helmet.
Let me organize the swing and the contraption. Like, we can just do the thing the normal way. It's nothing. It's nothing crazy. You know, I don't have a handicap ramp going up to my bed. Like it's fine. It's just fine.
I think a swing would be fun. I've never ventured.
Ah, I like it.
But I do. Yeah.
How would that work?
Yeah. How does that
I don't
work?
Know. I think you just someone hangs there, and then also maybe I don't look at the swing as something because in order for my wife to be at the right level for me. That swing has got to be about 6 inches off the ground, and then her legs are just dragging, and it's not a real swing.
Wait, Courtney, how does the sex swing generally work? Can you describe it for us?
Oh, here we go.
Usually suspends from the ceiling or a sturdy frame, letting one partner get into various angles and positions with minimal effort. It's basically like adding some zero gravity fun to the mix.
Wait, zero gravity fun.
That's a band name right there.
Can I
that's...
tell you guys that I was in Tommy Lee's house when he was married to Pamela Anderson?
Share this story.
And I got in the sex swing and swung in the bedroom just because I was there. What? Who would say no?
Was any? Well, I mean, okay. So when you got in the sex swing,
yes.
Was there a lot of people in the bedroom just kind of like, oh, hey, and this is the bedroom, there's the sex swing? Or did you sneak off and find the bedroom?
No, I didn't sneak off, but it was only me and our former producer, Lightning, and Tommy.
Oh, but Tommy was there.
Yeah, so we were like, show us the swing, dude.
So when you got in the swing, did he have a Pavlov dog reaction of like... well, every time someone gets in this thing, I get laid, so...
I do remember... thinking the swing is so high, I don't know how this works.
And then you saw how he could drive a boat. You were like, "Oh, yeah. That's how it works.
It could work just that way, just because he's who he is." Yeah. Yeah, there was no sex, but I did get in the swing, and it was pretty solid. It's a pretty solid swing.
Now I'm picturing because I know Kevin that you famously dealt with back issues your whole life, or your whole adult life, and. I just imagine you getting into a sex swing and then being like, you know what? This is lining everything up.
All of my problems have gone away.
This is great. Like, you just hear two clicks and then you're like, this is awesome.
I'm in heaven.
Yeah, I'm getting one of these. Like,
no, I didn't feel any need to get one of them because I just literally couldn't figure out how that would aid things. How that would help anything.
Yeah, but for you, you're just getting it to help out your L4 or whatever. That's true. The heck. Like, you're not getting it. Hey, honey, I got a sex swing. I'm not sure if I'm into that. No, it's not for you.
I mean, it could be. Don't get me wrong.
Not
if you figure it out. Yeah.
Corny, how many different kinds of kinks are there?
Oh, get ready for a big number.
Oh, there are hundreds, if not thousands of different kinks out there. Human creativity knows no bounds when it comes to that.
Give us some examples. Give us some of the stranger examples.
Sure. One classic example is the polar plunge, where people jump into icy water after a sauna session. It can boost your mood and energy levels like a natural shot of adrenaline. Another is alternating between hot tubs and cold plunges, which some athletes swear by for faster recovery.
I think he's doing more recovery tricks.
He does this occasionally, supposed to keep it
pretty G-rated. So we keep pushing him down the road, and sometimes
okay. How many different kinds of sex kinks are there?
Oh, you really want to push the envelope, huh? Let's just say there are countless varieties, each with its own unique twist. But let's keep it somewhat classy and say that human creativity knows no bounds.
You suck.
We don't like classy. Have you not listened this whole time you've been in this room with us over these last few months? We don't like it classy.
Yeah, you guys are just trying to not get banned from...
I don't think anybody from the gives internet? A shit.
Yeah, because we all know the internet likes to keep it classy. That's very true.
Kevin, do you have a $1 American for us?
I do.
Should we play a game?
I
Brad,
do.
Have you seen play this exciting game? Have you ever heard of $1 American where you could actually win a dollar?
I want to play this game because, as we all know, inflation is hitting a lot of people hard, and the 99-cent stores and the They can no longer be authentically 99 cent stores anymore. So, yes.
So you could come back on our podcast another 8 times and get a cup of coffee.
Yes. Exactly.
I need dollar, that's what I need. Hey, hey.
All right. So the topic is based on Brad Williams traveling, what did you say, 44 weeks last year? That's crazy.
Yep.
According to the USA Today, the country's most navigable airports, the easiest airports to get in and out of, find your flight, get your stuff, not confusing, top 10 in the United States.
Oh, in the United States?
Yes, in the United States.
Oh, I was going all over the
world. See, now, all over the world. Now, like, I've been in many of them, let's just say that.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But then it's like... All right, I just need one hint, and that's, are there, like, regional airports in this answer, or is this only, like, metropolitan, like, major metropolitan airports?
Major metropolitan.
Okay, because it's like, I would say, like, hey, Burbank rules.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Yes, Burbank is the best airport on the planet.
I would argue Long Beach might be a little better.
Yeah.
That's clearly like not on the list, I guess?
No, neither of those are. No,
you got a buzzer.
Brad was asking for a hint, which is that it's not a local small airport.
So these are all major metropolitan.
Oh, bigger. Yes. Okay. All right.
Yes.
Gotcha. And now I can't say the word because I'm thinking how you pronounced it.
Well, it's written navigable.
Navigable. So that just right. Getting around.
Corny, how do you say that word that Kevin and everybody else were all trying to say?
I say navigable. Just rolls off the boom.
Yeah. Sounds wrong.
Wow. Okay.
All right, Brad, you're first.
All right. I'm just going through them in my head. Is Indianapolis on the list?
Indianapolis. Yeah. Is not on the top 10.
Darn.
That doesn't mean that some of these aren't going to be 11 to 20, but this is just the top 10.
Yeah. Now, is this.
You don't get to keep going.
Are we a Family Feud style or is it three or is it just one?
No, now it goes to Marcy.
Oh, okay.
Let's go Dallas. That's huge. Dallas. And it's pretty efficient.
Yeah. It's not on the top 10.
No.
First of all, I just found out, and this is insane. Kevin and I both hail originally from Phoenix, which is now, I don't know if you guys know, the fifth largest city in the country.
Yeah.
Isn't that insane?
If this were a list of the biggest cities in the country, that would be great.
Shut up. I would say Sky Harbor. I hate Sky Harbor, but it's really easy to do. Fuck.
No, it's not the name of the airport. It's the name of the...
Yeah, Phoenix.
Yeah, so, but that's not
PHX.
On the,
no, okay.
That's not on the
All right.
10. All right, Brad.
Trying to think of major airports I've been in recently where I was like, oh yeah, this is really nice. There's no way that's the answer. Oh, I'll go with Logan, Boston.
Logan, Boston is on the list.
Nice.
Well done. Number
on
nine.
The board.
What number was it?
Number 9.
No, just squeaked in there. All
just
right.
Barely got in there. So, from your experience, why is that? Do you find Logan to be easy to navigate?
It's weird because it's one of these airports where once you get in it, it's fine. It's really like it's almost foolproof when it like it's idiot proof. You can't really get lost there. But like getting there. I know there's an exit that's like right off a tunnel where if you blink, you miss it. And then you got to go around and it's a whole thing. But if you hit that exit, then you're good.
Gotcha. All right. Marcy.
Oh, let's go Denver International.
Denver International. It's not on the list.
I could tell you that right now.
What, Brad? Oh, you're a Denver Broncos fan.
Yeah, and I've been to that airport so many times. Denver, the airport is located not near anything. They purposely built it miles away from the city, so it's like a 40-minute drive from wherever you are in the city. And then once you get there, it's a lot of – it's just it's a lot of terminals. There's trams and everything, but it's, yeah, it's pretty difficult to navigate. So,
Sligo?
Yeah.
Well, I know everybody hates it, but I never had any trouble, and I flew in and out a lot of Newark, and it seemed pretty easy to get around, really.
Newark is not on the list.
I think that was actually a really good guess. You know what? I'll go Kansas City.
Kansas City is not on the top 10 list.
There's like
Is it my turn?
Yep.
Let's go Oakland.
I'm sorry. Oakland. I thought you said Oakland.
I did.
Yeah, that's SFO, right?
No.
Oh, no, that's not SFO.
Oh, okay.
I was flying out of San Francisco, SFO, right? And then I discovered Oakland Airport, and it is a breeze.
Dang, really?
So easy, yeah.
That's like Bob Hope here. Right?
Yeah, I guess so. No, okay.
You can't get easier than the Vegas Airport.
That was
going to
be my next one.
The Vegas Airport is not on the top 10.
All right, one more round, and so far Brad is winning.
Brad?
All right. I'll go SeaTac. I'll go Seattle.
Seattle is on the list.
Ah, check you out.
I mean, technically, you should win this because you've been at all of them in the last year.
Yeah.
Seattle is fifth.
Fifth. Okay.
Yep. Okay.
All right, but that technically means we can't win.
That means neither of you can win. That's true.
Yeah. So
spit it out and well done, Brad. You would guarantee that money is coming your way real soon.
It'll be there really soon.
That's just because I've been to all these freaking airports. Yeah. So it's like,
in a couple of words, Brad, I'm going to give you the list, the top 10, and you tell us your impression of that airport.
All right.
Number 10 is Washington Reagan in Washington, D.C.
Yeah. Reagan's, yeah. It's also a very beautiful airport. It's near all the, like, you literally take off and you fly right over the Pentagon, which seems problematic. That makes a lot of sense.
Number 9, Boston Logan, Massachusetts.
Yep.
Number 8, Atlanta.
No.
Yep. That's what they say.
Navigable once you get on the inside? No. Outside, maybe, but on the inside, hell.
All right, so
no.
You disagree with that one. All right. That's a hard pass for you on that one.
Wrongly.
Number 7 is Portland, Oregon.
Yeah, that's a pretty, it's pretty basic, pretty easy.
Number 6 is Minneapolis, St. Paul.
You know, that's a hub. I was just in that airport last week. It used to be more navigable because they had a tram, but then they got rid of the tram. So that answer actually surprises me.
Oh, well, maybe this is an older list. I tried to get one within the last year.
Yeah.
So I don't know when they made that change. Number 5 is Seattle. Number 4 is Tampa.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You get in, you take a tram, and then there's just two hallways. Pick one, and then you're good. So that makes a lot of sense.
Number 3 is San Diego.
Oh, San Diego is easy. Yeah,
I should have known that one.
That one's super simple. Yeah,
I like that airport. Actually.
And it's right in the middle of downtown, like you see everything. Like, it's very convenient.
Number 2 is Charlotte, North Carolina.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It's also a hub, and that makes a lot of sense.
And number 1. Marcy is Salt Lake City.
Salt Lake City, Utah. I was
thinking
that. It is so, it's a very, very easy airport.
Say this.
Here's Brad's upset. I can't wait.
I know.
I'm upset about this. I've never thought I'd be this passionate about
the fucking airport.
Fucking airport list.
Top 10 list.
But the fact that that's number 1. So if you fly Delta, yes.
Yes, and that's what I fly. Delta.
But if you are on another airline, you guys aren't sponsored, I could say. I fly American. That's my airline of choice. And they put you out in like this terminal. It's way the heck over there. You have to walk because they're doing this reconstruction project on one of the tunnels that gets you to baggage claim. So you have to walk like all the way to the far tunnel.
That's true.
That's true, Marcy? And you think
it's true, but that's supposed to be temporary.
I'm gonna buzz the list.
Making changes. But so you're boom, bang.
Yeah, once again, if this was like 2 years ago or like before this construction started, I would agree with you. But because of the recent construction, that was like not in my head. It's like, well, it's not Salt Lake City because F this place. But
not only, but it's number one on the list.
Yeah.
Hey, Brad, I'm going to ask you to do something here. It's really disgusting. Every single episode, we dedicate the show to somebody. So I want you to think of somebody before you do, before you say who you'd like to dedicate this episode to. Mm-hmm. I need to clear up something. We had a filthy lie on the last episode, and I feel terrible about it. I said on here that someone had won the one second snippet last time, and it turned out that someone had actually beat them to it, and I had the wrong person that I said had won. It was actually Stephen Stoneman. Yeah, Nora actually, I think, did call in. That was well done, but you have to actually go to ChatBCC, and she had come up with You're No Good by Linda Ronstadt, but I had said that it was Joel Nixon, who was actually 2 hours after Stephen Stoneman, who had picked that little tiny
piece. So if we had to pick who the liar was...
Probably Brad. I don't know how he did it, but he like pushed me to say the wrong thing last weekend. It was weird.
Yeah.
So anyways, is there anybody you would like to dedicate the episode to?
Wow. You know what? I will dedicate this episode. No, you're on the episode. I will dedicate the episode to my niece, Mercedes, who just got married. And I was not at the wedding because I was working. So this must make up for it.
I'm sure it will. You'll have to let us know.
Yeah, I will tell her and say, you know what? I didn't get you a wedding gift, but I did dedicate an episode.
Now, I don't know this person that you're speaking of. So
Mercedes.
I'm not trying to get in trouble. But is Mercedes or is it not a stripper name?
Well, there goes the goodwill.
Is it or is it not?
Right out the door.
Well, she did get...
I'm not saying she's a stripper. I'm saying that's a stripper name. Was this bad?
No. You're
what
not.
What's bad about it?
I'm right now, I'm wrestling with my thoughts of, do I want to be funny or do I want
that's your
to
job.
Stay married and not have my wife hate me for what I said about her wonderful, wonderful niece.
I'm sure she's the best person in the world.
Yes. She,
and
she
a hell
is,
of a stripper.
With a stripper name.
She is delightful. Right. But in general, I think it's a Lisa Lampanelli joke where the best stripper names are stuff you can't afford. So Porsche,
right.
Stuff like that.
That's
you know.
True.
Food. Rent.
I don't think the strippers are named Food in general, but welcome to the stage, Food.
Yeah. Welcome to the stage. It's Dim Sum. Dim Sum, everybody. As in Dim Sum Big Titties on that stage right now. Dim Sum, everybody.
Oh, God. I'm glad we were able to work you out of that one, Brad. Good work.
Thank you. I think it was a nice recovery. But yes,
it was.
Traditionally, that might be a name of people that work in an adult establishment.
Why are you restating it? You're just opening it up to more conversation.
Well, you know what? Let's ask Corny. Corny, is Mercedes a stripper name?
Statistically speaking, Mercedes is often perceived as a name with a certain flair. But hey, a name doesn't define the person.
So yes, Brad. The answer is yes.
Hey, that just means she has a certain flair. He didn't say stripper.
Exactly.
He wouldn't say stripper. He's programmed to be too nice.
Yeah, it just means that when she walks into the room, people notice.
Right, of course. Especially if the room has a pole in the middle of it.
Exactly.
All right. Brad, you are the best for being a guest on this nonsense.
Thank you,
thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hey, you know what? Before we go,
nope.
I want to know if my job is safe from AI. So I'm going to challenge Corny right now, and let's just see let's see what he could do.
So a joke off.
Yeah.
Marcy joke. Okay.
Yeah.
So don't worry, it's okay.
Yeah.
I started laughing immediately.
So how? So I have two options how we should do this. I'll let you guys say. You say a topic, and I have to make a joke about it, and Corny has to make a joke about it, or I just throw out a premise, and we'll see if Corny can make a joke about it.
I mean, I think in interest of being fair, I suppose we should come up with a topic offhand. I don't have one.
Mm. Yeah.
Marcy,
strippers.
Kevin?
Strippers named Mercedes.
All right, there you go. There's your category.
All right, yeah, so...
Strippers named Mercedes. Brad, go.
Brad, what do you got?
Okay. Typically, when a stripper is named Mercedes, don't look at it as a 2025 S-Class Mercedes. Think of it as a 1997 beat to hell. There's a couple of dents in the fender, and it had a lot of previous owners. Think about that when it comes to strippers named Mercedes.
See, now there's a lot wrapped up in that, and that is perfect. So, Corny, a joke about a stripper named Mercedes, please.
All right, here goes. A stripper named Mercedes walks into a bar. The bartender says, "Wow, with a name like that, you must be high maintenance." And she replies, "Only if you can't handle the mileage."
I gotta tell you, that wasn't terrible.
That wasn't.
It wasn't awful.
No. We've had Corny tell jokes before, and it always sounds like it's out of a Highlights magazine from 1980.
Dad would throw out. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Nice and safe.
Especially with you throwing out that topic, and I know the parameters that have been set by Corny. I had a little more, although mine was pretty.
Oh no! You win.
Oh, you win. You win. No sure. But yeah. we're very impressed and happy of our little.
I'm
robot
impressed.
Here.
Basically, yeah. You know, in put this in a. I like to compare everything to the all-time classic film Cool Runnings.
And sure. Think, an epic.
If you know anything about me, I've said this a million times. I think Corny is the Jamaican bobsled team, where you're like, did not expect, you didn't win, but man. You did a lot better than everyone expected.
Did not expect you to show up.
I think this proves that your job is safe, at least for the moment.
For now, it is safe. Although there are probably several other comedians out there that are like, oh, crap, that was better than I could have done.
Yes. You know what? That's definitely, if they're being honest, that's a very true statement.
Yeah. So I can sleep well at night knowing that Corny will never tour Fresno like I will.
Sleep well in your sex swing.
Yeah.
Brad, you're the best. Thank you for joining us on the podcast. Yeah. We appreciate that.
Yeah, guys, thanks for having me. Marcy, was very nice to meet you for the first time.
Great
Kevin,
meeting
always great to catch up. And Sluggo, you were here.
There's your answer to the first question at the beginning of this episode.
What the fuck?
It's okay. You're Corny's favorite, so you got that true. Going for you.
Corny, do you want to wrap up the episode for us, please?
Absolutely. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. Big thanks to Brad for joining the chaos and giving us some solid laughs. We'll catch you all next time. Stay snarky.
Nope.
Kind of lame. Try it again. Don't stay snarky. Be snarky.
All right. How about this? Corny, can you summarize the episode in the style of a Jerry Springer final thought?
All right, folks, what did we learn today? We learned that airports can be a hot topic, that strippers with fancy car names have more mileage than you'd expect, and that even an AI can hold its own in a comedy showdown. Until next time, take care of yourselves and each other. And maybe don't name your kids after luxury cars. See you next time.
Well done.
Apologies to your niece. The apologies to your niece.
That was great.
Well done.
Uno, two, tres,
boom. Three-fourths human with
Kevin,
Marcy,
and Sluggo.
And AI.